Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and this January I am launching my new show, The Laura Ingraham Show Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So if you like my radio show, you're going to love joining me during the week as I cover politics, pop culture, and media bias. And don't worry, as always, I'm going to bring you hard-hitting guests and take your calls. Subscribe today and download new episodes starting January exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Hey, Dr. Brzezinski. What's going on, Drewski?
Not a heck of a lot. How you doing? Everything cool?
I'm, you know, running around, busy, trying to.
How are the kids?
Keep my New Year's resolution.
Ooh, you don't do that, do you?
I do. Yeah.
What was your New Year's resolution? Get in the pool every day.
No, I do that.
Hey, why don't you thank our sponsors?
And ever since you told me about the electroshock therapy part, it really made me think about it.
Yeah, I've been doing the showers too, little cold showers. I dig it.
I want to thank GetRoman.com/ADS, LifeLock.com, promo code Adam, and TrueCar.com as well. It is now rainy and freezy outside, and I'm working on a house, so I'm getting up early and hitting it. It's kind of a difference between settling in and answering some tweets and drinking some coffee, and then the version of, you said you were going to meet the plumber at the new house at 8:10, and it's 7:55, and you just woke up, and you're fucking standing around in your bathrobe, and you're like, it's raining outside, and it's freezing, and I would like to get dressed, go meet the plumber, do whatever, and I'll come back later. But I realized, that's not going to work. Well, so now I just go throw myself in the pool.
Right. And you gave me crap last week when I was asking you, like, is the pool right outside the door, right? You know, is it easy access in the morning? And I had the experience this morning where I was like, oh Christ, I couldn't imagine going downstairs and jumping in the pool, but I'm gonna turn on this freaking cold water, no problem. And I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pay extra time in the water because I didn't go downstairs. But the barrier to go downstairs seems so vast when it's not right there.
Yeah. What if you were talking to your kids and they're like, I couldn't do homework. It was downstairs.
I understand. It does not have that same priority for me. It doesn't. It just doesn't.
It's not. Look. Listen.
Hey, by the way, it means taking the dog out. I mean, there's a whole bunch of procedures that have to get done with that, you know, and that I wanted to avoid.
You know, you disappoint me.
Hey,
because
man,
you
I didn't know you,
you
when you
talk
about
in your business. You're always talking about people sort of making deals with themselves.
I get it.
They go like, I could have a couple of beers and a doobie. Just stay away from the hard stuff.
Yes. When the priority is stopping.
They're constantly cutting deals
because their brain's priority is using and their wished for priority is stopping. I have no priority in swimming in a cold pool.
No.
It's not a priority in my life. I get as much out of the cold shower.
No. But by the way, if you thought it was a coin toss, you'd get into the pool. You get a lot more out of the pool. The cold shower is a 3.5 versus a 10 in terms of the cold pool dunk. You can't get as much out of it. It's basically like saying, I'm doing curls with 17-pound dumbbells. And I go, why don't you step up to some 40 pounds? You go, I get just as much out of the 13. It's like, no, you don't. It's good that you're exercising, but you can't get as much.
What is it about the cold pool? What is it doing that the cold shower does not? I get the same shock. I get the same mood elevation. I get everything else.
The cold pool, well, there's two things. Look, if we just did it on some sort of sliding scale and you went, okay, the pool is 49 degrees outside and you're going to dunk yourself. You're going to hold yourself underwater in that 49 degree pool. Yeah. You go, okay, that's a lot. All right. What if the pool was 65 degrees and you just put your torso, your lower half in it? You go, well, not as much. I guess not as much because it's less painful, less commitment, less whatever. So there's kind of a scale. If somebody said, look, if you said to 100 people, what would you rather do? Go into the shower and take a cold shower, or go outside where it's raining and steam's pouring off your body and dump yourself into the pool? 100% of the people would say, I'll take the shower. The reason why they would take the shower is because they'd look at it as less painful, less commitment, less whatever it is you're not looking for, looking forward to or trying to avoid. Although simultaneously and ironically attempting to impose, it's a lesser version of that. So to me, because it's worse, it's better.
Yeah,
because
that's
all we're trying to do is create worse.
If this is a dose-related phenomenon, which you're making the case it is, and I can't dispute that.
No,
you can't dispute it. In other words, is there an optimal dose is what this becomes?
No, it's more like what would you like to do least?
I mean, why not make it even colder? Why not?
That would be better.
I'm not sure of that.
Well, I, at a certain point, it becomes life-altering or threatening or something, you know, life-threatening. But there's no doubt in my mind that when the pool, when the summer months start to move along and the pool just through virtue of sitting in the sun gets to 77 degrees, I don't do it anymore because it's not for the sake of dunking myself in the pool. It's for the sake of making myself miserable. Which I'm still pretty good at without the pool. All right. Do we have de Blasio?
This is from yesterday.
Yeah, we're talking about it yesterday. He was giving a
He's delivering the State of the City address.
Oh, okay.
Of New York City.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right. So he's probably going to be talking about how to handle garbage and
as concerning as de Blasio is in some of his stuff. Nowhere near California politicians.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask for names after this.
I want to warn you a little bit in advance that this cuts off what I'm sure is a much larger applause break. It was just the best version I could find.
Okay.
Here we go.
For decades, working people have done their share. For decades, working people have gotten more and more productive. At the same time, they've gotten a smaller and smaller share of the wealth they create. Here's the truth. Brothers and sisters, there's plenty of money in the world. There's plenty of money in this city. It's just in the wrong hands.
Oh, boy.
There's a part before that where he's kind of saying, it's kind of sadder. He goes, people aren't living the life they want to live. And that's the part I wanted to drill down on, although this is fine, which is like, if you're not living the life you'd like to live, then you should start working. It's a slippery slope saying, but what if someone gave you another $200 a month? Would you then start being happy or living the life or being fulfilled or having a better family life or spiritual life?
Or $10,000. Where do you...
Any amount.
Yeah.
Why would this suggest...
Would
you can't
simultaneously.
Here's what I'm saying. You can't simultaneously preach that money is filled with evil people who just have the money. Those are the evil people. And then say, but if you had some of that money, then you could be living the life you'd like to lead. The life you'd like to lead, in terms of doing, I don't draw a straight line to monetary income.
Well, unless,
a big mistake.
Unless the life you want to lead is not working and leisure and going traveling or something. You know what I mean? That's the life you'd like to lead. That's a pretty scary message for a productive society.
Well, also, I was thinking about this when someone was talking to me about my white privilege, and somebody played a clip of me doing my white privilege and stuff. And I just think to I had a statement in the past that would be, who do you know is really good at their job that's ever out of work?
Yeah.
Who? Think about the person. I always think about in terms of carpentry. Do I know any good carpenters that have been out of work for 10 minutes?
Right.
No. Never. You're good. You have a skill. That skill isn't saddle repair. It's carpentry or something that people need or useful or lives in the present day. Who's really good at their job? really good at their job and just haven't been able to find work for 2 years. Doesn't exist. I've never seen it. And by
unless they you know, made horse whips or buggies or something, well, that just is not manufactured anymore.
That was a saddle repair part.
Yeah.
The other, so my extension of that is when you go, when they start talking about.
Even that, though, I bet you that if they're really good, they'd find something.
People start talking to me about white privilege, and I'm like, who do you know? Who do you know? Or who have you went to high school with? Or who have you experienced that's not where they put themselves, good or bad? Who do you know who have let, I'm not saying historically, I'm saying who do you know? Who have you experienced? Who were you friends with back in the day? Who were you neighbors with or who were coworkers? Who do you know who's not where they put themselves or
That's kind of a
for
sort
external
of a solipsism.
External powers have forced them into something else, but they should be here. But instead, they're over there because of the powers, some sort of external powers known as society or prejudice or whatever it is. Who do we know, or who do you know? Not who have you heard of or who have you read about. I want to know who you know, who's passed through your life. Your work, your college, your whatever, your team, your experiences, your neighborhood, your family. Who do you know is not really where they should be? Everybody I know is pretty much where they should be. Doesn't mean it's always a good place. It just means whatever work they've done, however they've chosen to conduct themselves, however hard they've worked, mixed with however smart they've worked, mixed
I do
with
know
opportunities.
People.
Go ahead. Name names.
I can't because
names.
I can.
Yeah, no.
Because what about
no.
about to say, which is that I know people that went into careers that were just the right thing at the right time, and I know people that went into careers where it was the opposite.
Well, who put them in those careers?
They did it, but they didn't.
Okay.
They didn't know that they were. It sort of things erupted as they were there.
But who's responsible for that?
They're responsible for being in that. But how about the guy that went the other way? Who was responsible for that? I mean,
which way?
Were they were in a career where things started shrinking and they were stuck in it?
Well, you don't have to get stuck in any career. I mean, once it starts shrinking, I don't know what careers you're talking about.
Let's say you were in a
Drew, don't be a fucking idiot. There's timing. Of course there's timing.
I saw a lot of that.
You can get into
writing the thing
with the .com or the whatever. Of course there's timing. There's always going to be timing.
But I saw people that went into professions that went one way or the other.
Well, name some of the professions.
Attorney.
Okay.
Some of the attorneys just took off. When I was in high school, it's like no one knew that was going to happen. And no.
Attorney was always a job.
No. And not the way it was.
I had a whole show called L.A. Law.
That came later. Came way later. And then
inherent in the wind. People didn't think an attorney was a money making job.
Not the way it became. It became ridiculous.
I know, but I'm not talking about ultra wealthy or destitute.
And then
I'm
by the same token, I saw people that went into professions that sort of slid down.
Name them. I'm going to buy you some time.
Well, I'm thinking
True
about people that went. No, I'm thinking about people that went to certain clinical, like sort of
All right, think about it.
Nursing type practices that should have been more lucrative than they were.
After you and Drew are done, I think I'm going to have a video you'll like.
All right,
go ahead.
All right, so your example is attorney.
I'm just saying professions that
and a form of
that
nursing.
Were very, very smart people, equal intelligence, and both working hard. And one chose one thing, one chose the other. I'm not saying their lives weren't. Maybe their lives were. Maybe the guy that in the profession that shrunk was even happier. You know
the what?
Maybe the guy in the profession that did not bear fruit was even happier than the guy where it did. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I would
argue that if they became a nurse, they're all right.
Nurse and therapist. Yeah, they're fine. But compared to what happened to some of them that timed these other professions, it's like, whoa.
The question that was stated was very simple, which is who do you know who's not responsible for where they are?
But it's a solipsism. We're all responsible for no matter what. Whether we make good choices or bad choices or timing or not timing, either direction, we made the choices to get us there. The timing wasn't our responsibility, but
– Yes. Yeah. Okay. Took you a while to come around. I'm saying is why would we want to pitch it any other way than that?
Right.
You pitch that you shall be responsible. There's always a caveat of being T-boned by a drunk driver the day after you graduated. But with that being a lower percentage thing, and there's also winning the lottery, another lower percentage thing. With that in mind, let's just move forward as if we're captains of our own ship.
That's a good message.
Thank you, Drew. Took a while. Let me tell you about Roman. Whether it's a knee injury or worse, guys usually more comfortable rubbing a little dirt on it than seeing a doctor. 70% of guys with erectile dysfunction do not get treated. Roman, it's a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians diagnose ED and ship you medication right to your door. No waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, no uncomfortable pharmacy trips. You can visit GetRoman.com/ADS. Fill out a brief medical onboarding. Chat with a doctor. Get an FDA-approved ED med. And get it delivered right to your door in a discreet, unmarked package. And you can go online and visit for free. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/ADS. That's GetRoman.com/ADS. Have a free online visit. You have something that's going to make us throw up in our mouth, Gary?
I believe so.
It's de Blasio?
Yes, it is. This is about 60 seconds or so, and he gets to the part you were talking about towards the end. Here we go.
Imagine life in a city that takes some weight off of your shoulders. Imagine a city that's focused every day on making things more fair. Your health care guaranteed. Your wages and benefits protected. Your home and your rent affordable. Your time given back to you. Your child on the right path from 3K all the way to college. Your subways and buses actually improving. Your streets safer than ever. And your retirement secured. Imagine a city where New Yorkers can live their lives more fully. That's the quality of life I want for every New Yorker.
Well, that ain't it. Must have been a little later in the speech or earlier. He was just talking about what I was talking about.
Living your life more fully thing.
No, no. It's this whole soliloquy about
you're not doing what you want to do.
You're not doing what you want to do. Thanks. Yeah, I would imagine that. Everyone has health care. Everyone has world-class everything. Everyone has transportation. Everyone,
that'd be great.
By the way, your rent's not high. You got to get Manhattan under control, man. Some of those apartments are expensive, right?
Yes.
Got to bring it down.
Yes.
Control that, man. That'll fix it. Well. Yeah? Mm-hmm. I love that Venice wants to build a huge homeless shelter and all the people who live in Venice don't want the fucking shelter there.
Yeah.
You made it easy for homeless to flop, Venice. You made it super easy for them to inhabit every park and every square inch and every sidewalk, and you let it go, and you let it go, and you let it go. And now the homeless have a home. It's called Venice. And they have every... Look, they don't pay property taxes. They don't pay any taxes. But they have every bit the right to that stretch of sidewalk or Abbot Kinney is the people that buy the $3 million houses and pay all the taxes. That's what you wanted. That's what you got. Okay, now have fun. It's going to be hard. It's hard. You know, it's one thing to move out a couple of homeless. It's another thing to move out regiments of homeless people. Which
who
is where we're at.
Who don't want to go indoors. This is what people have
by
to understand.
By the way, I was watching one of those. It's funny, everything is politicized, but I was watching one of those homeless, Vice on homeless or whatever. I know they love this romantic part about how the people were made homeless.
Oh.
You know, like this is Jerry. He's been living on the street for 13 years. He's got his tent pitched on Martin Luther King Boulevard, and they come through this and that. 13 years ago, his home burned down, and now he's homeless. And so for the last 13 years, he's been living on the street. It's like, yeah, I'd really like to see a little more detail about his house burning down.
Yeah.
Drew, you have a house?
Yeah.
I have a house?
Yeah.
If it burnt down, just you and the old lady just take it to the street?
That's it.
You're out on the street.
We'd have to.
Your house burned down.
House burned down. We're homeless now. We are houseless, homeless.
What does that mean? I don't know that you can even have a fucking house without fire insurance.
They don't ask questions.
No, they don't. They don't ask questions at all. Like, why are you living on the street? House burnt down. Okay.
The bigger question is
that
why
ever
don't you,
happened?
Why don't you go down the road here? There's a whole bunch of housing here. Let's go do it. Oh, no. They're not.
House burnt down.
They won't take the housing.
I get it. What's in it for the news outlet not really explaining what's ever going on?
Ever.
Why does there need to be some sort of political whatever? I don't know what percentage of people lived in their own home and then it burnt down and then they went to downtown LA and slept on the sidewalk for the next 13 years. I guess it'd be the day after. I guess it'd be that move where you're out front with the firemen and stuff and the house is ablaze. And you're like, well, thank God I was able to salvage this pup tent. Come on, kids.
Let's go.
We're going to live on Martin Luther King Boulevard. Here we go. Mm-hmm. We'll have to move during the Rams home games because people park where we sleep. No one ever wants to know any. There's no scratching of the lottery ticket story beyond that. His house burnt down. No, I was homeless. That was 13 years ago. Wow. It's taken a long time to rebuild that house. Imagine if life just worked that way. It's like, well, Drew, how many years you been homeless now? 13 years. What happened?
House burnt down.
Fell asleep smoking.
Yeah.
Done. We had a gas leak. And now I'm living on the sidewalk. Okay. Well, let's talk about you and your schedule.
Yeah.
No questions about why you would not want to rebuild your house? Or
how about take some of the social services that are available all over the place?
You got to, I think, 13. Gary, I think I favorite tweeted that.
I'm sorry.
One. You can find it later, but I favorite tweeted, I think, that homeless story one that somebody gave me, which is, he's homeless, but his house got on fire. Hey, Scott, 41.
Yes, guys. Hey, big fan of you guys. I've been listening to you since the get-go.
Thank you.
Because of you guys, I've followed the NSNG program for a while here, and down about 80 pounds in just over 3 months.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's nice. Crazy.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. Appreciate that. But it also raises a concern that my wife is dismissing like it's nothing. I'm concerned about is I have three little girls. It ranging from 2.5 to 6 to 8. And their sugar content or intake is ridiculous. And I keep getting told, you know, they're just kids. It's what they eat. Don't worry about it. But I feel like it's something I'm almost setting them up for future problems. Am I too worried or is there validity to what I'm saying here?
You are too worried because it is normal for young developing children and adolescents to try to pack in as much calorie as possible. On the other hand, setting sort of dietary habits early is a good thing. So you can sort of shape it. They're, of course, going to want fatty and sugar-laden foods. That's in their developmental biology. But to sort of kind of, you know, encourage them in different directions, I think that's very important.
Yeah.
I appreciate the help, guys.
Good luck.
Wait, how's your wife with this? I'm sorry, go ahead.
See, Adam's...
Is your wife down with the cause?
Of putting them on a better diet? No, she thinks I'm paranoid and I worry too much because...
How about her diet?
I worry about everything.
How about her diet?
She's good. She's rock solid.
What does she have for breakfast?
Herself.
nothing.
Nothing.
She usually doesn't eat until, you know, lunch and dinner type things. And when she does, it's just like, you know, maybe like go to a Mexican food and get a taco and eat part of that. And then dinner, and just kind of nibble here and there. Nothing. I mean,
she doesn't have much of an appetite.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I sort of gave up.
At home?
Yeah. It's I can't argue anymore about it.
Yeah.
I think we got Sonny on an egg. He has an egg on Tuesday and Thursday. I think after 3 years, I think that's where we've landed. But nice. It's like it's such a never ending argument. I can never. It's just like it's a crazy pills kind of argument. I don't even know what it is. I can't even. I just sort of thrown the towel in on everybody and just went like just eat unhealthy and do whatever you want. No one gets fat, so they don't really care.
Right.
So I'm just like, go ahead. But it is weird. It's also that part of the New World Order, maybe this is my toxic masculinity kicking in. But
sure. Probably.
I do feel like the guy who pays for 100% of the food should get a vote. In terms of what is consumed, I'm not saying 1,000 votes, but I'm saying like a little more than just the one vote spread out four ways. Mm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who picks up the tab for all of the food all of the time should probably get like a vote and a half. But that's just my toxic masculinity speaking.
It is. It takes a village to raise kids, and your wife has equal partnership in this family system. So your vote is equal to hers.
Okay. Well, then mine's been canceled out with the Vinny Tortorich angle because I'm done. I'm done arguing with everyone at my house. But no sugar, no grain is fantastic and makes a huge difference. And it's so funny how doctors and society still take they're still like, I just talked to a friend of mine, good Matt DeAndrea. You're not bad, Matt. I feel like I need to say that. He's good, Matt.
I appreciate the effort.
Yeah, making it clear.
He went no sugar, no grain like 6 months ago. All his stuff is down. All his cholesterol and all his everything's down. And he meets with the doctor. And the doctor's like, everything is down.
Good job with the plant diet.
No, and I know it's all eggs and cheese and lunch meat and everything is down. So stay the course, but take it easy on the red meat.
Yeah.
It's like, take it easy on the red meat. How do you want to do this again?
You know, I did a podcast, it's not out yet, on Swole Patrol with Sean Baker, the guy behind the carnivore diet.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting guy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's coming out soon. And we got into the weeds on this thing. And that just the evidence that this is destructive is not there.
I know. Go ahead, Drew. You're going to do something?
I was going to talk about TrueCar, buddy. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about TrueCar and TrueCash Offer. Find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade in. Just go to TrueCar, enter your license plate number. Car details comes right up. Then you answer a couple questions. And once you're all finished, you get that TrueCash Offer sent in minutes. You can take to a local TrueCar certified dealer to cash out or trade in. And if you want to trade in, you can check out the scattergram for the car you would like to trade it in for. You get that true price, including fees and accessories. True Car certified dealers know your search and rounds. They set their true price competitively. And once you lock that price in, you've locked in a price for an actual vehicle on a True Car certified dealer's lot. So simple. Get the True Cash offer. Take it to your local True Car certified dealer. Lock in a price for the car you want to trade it in for, or just get that cash. So when you're ready for a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car. True Cash offer not available in all areas.
All right, so we got the De Blasio thing. Gary's still searching for.
I'm Frank. I'm actually just kind of watching through the speech on like 3x speed, trying to get there. I think I'll find it shortly, probably tomorrow.
Yeah,
tomorrow. We'll play tomorrow. Also, see if I'll find you that.
I looked through
Vice
that tweet.
Thing.
Unless it's several weeks old, I'm not sure you favorited it.
Okay,
and then I want to talk about the idea of setting up some sort of fund that we could all contribute to, or that particularly corporations contribute to, that we could sort of, I don't know, manage our problems. Because the state is just going to run amok. So there should be another way to solve these problems.
I was talking to some mom today whose kids were in like junior high, and she's like, I just told them to stay home. because the teachers are on strike.
Well, the school loses money if they stay home.
I know. She's like, I sent them to school the other day. Like, what happened? They just put them all in an auditorium, told them to sit there.
Oh.
Like it was some kind of refugee camp, you know, like a fucking tsunami torn through the San Fernando Valley. And she's like, fuck them. They're not getting money for my kids. They're not doing it. They're telling everyone, show up, show up, show up.
Yeah,
and they
so
show
they
up
the
and
money.
They go, we'll get the money. Now go sit in a fucking blimp hangar.
So, to make this explicit, they get paid per head per day. And if the kids don't show up, they don't get paid by the state.
Right. So all the teachers are on strike and everyone's trying to figure it out. And
I think, you know, billionaire corporations, billionaire funds that live here in California, just put a little bit into some sort of fund that can be managed to sort of creatively solve some of these problems.
Why
just water in Africa? Why can't we do something in California?
I'm going to drill down on your idea. Yeah, well, no, Newsom's going to solve the water thing. He's going to tax water.
No. I mean, clear water into Africa, getting clean water.
No, I said Newsom's going to clear up this whole water thing. He's just going to tax it.
He's going to tax water, and then he's going to tax air. It's coming next.
I'm sure he has an exploratory committee looking into taxing air. But I'll tell you, and Drew, I will do your point one better when I...
Tomorrow.
Yeah. On tomorrow's show. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Stolen identity is a nightmare. Protect yourself. Always shred bank statements, bills, or documents that contain personal information. Keep important documents like birth certificates and social security cards in a safe. And use different strong passwords for your online accounts and smartphone. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing, LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. 2019, we need to protect ourselves. Criminals want to steal your identity and they want to drain your accounts. And good luck fixing your credit once that bell's been rung. If there's a problem, they have an agent and they will work to fix it. But you won't have a problem because you have LifeLock, right, Drew?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code ADAM at LifeLock.com for an extra 10% off.
All right. Live basic cable commentary with the great David Zucker up on stage coming up this Thursday, the 24th, in Irvine. Come on out and say hi. We're going to break down Airplane and some other films as well. Live shows in Connecticut. The 8th of February and then the 9th, Boston Wilbur Theater, doing stand-up and doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared there. Go say hi after the show, as per usual. Check out Chassis, 2 S's and a Y with all our offerings. What do you got, Drew?
Drew.com. We got a bunch of pods there. Me and Bob Forrest and Catherine, we're doing the new Swole Patrol. Check it all out there.
And until next time, Adam Carolla, Dr. Hussein. Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.